Hey, what's going on, guys? It has been a minute. Wow. I was on vacation, and I also just didn't really feel like doing anything productive with ideas, topics, or anything personally. But that changed while I was on vacation. I learned a lot about privacy, just leaving, how to talk about it, and how to discuss it, because I interacted with people, especially in a country where privacy is viewed a little bit different than the U.S. And I think I learned something more discussing it with strangers than reading about people's experience. I believe that's important. I think discussing privacy is fundamentally a good way to get people over to your side, but in a way that I never approached it, I think was more successful from the times that I have. Generally, when I talk to people, they don't care, and I become combative, and I think combativeness is such a crazy way to actually convince people of your viewpoint. And I've always had that perspective of having a different, going as there's a word for it, epistemology, where I ask questions and I come with curiosity, and I think people respond with that way more positively. And that's how generally, when people ask me about my opinions about certain things, that's how I approach it. And it's generally more successful. But with privacy and security, it's more or less people don't care. And then I become combative and it doesn't really teach them anything. So I hope you sit back and enjoy this rant I have and these ideas. And I'm going to go over some stuff that just happened recently in the news. This isn't really the main point, talking point, or focal point. The focal point is how to talk to your parents about privacy, how to talk to your friends about privacy, how to get people shifted to a more freer and open source society. Now, when I think of privacy, there was a very long time that I didn't really, I didn't really care, if that makes sense. Like the average person, I didn't care. I didn't think about caring, and it didn't bother me. I'd hand out, my email to anyone. I'd sign up for this. I'd do that. I'd use weak, shitty passwords. And that's why I generally come from a very non-technical background. I'm just a curious person, and that has led me to my privacy and security journey, understanding threat modeling, switching to Linux, because I value free and open source software, self-hosting, because I value my data being in my control. And most of the time when I would discuss with people about privacy and security, they would just either fluff it off or not care. And I'm like, well, why don't you care? Why wouldn't you care? What would be the reason you wouldn't care? You have bathroom stalls in fucking bathroom in your, you know what I mean? I'd come more aggro and they would just immediately shut down. Now, when I bring up solid points or ask solid questions in a positive, a positive reinforcement manner, I generally have better results, and then people are interested even more, kind of like a sneaky way of doing it. An acquaintance of mine someone's just talking to me, they're like, I fucking hate ads. Ads suck. They're lame. And I'm like, just download Brave. They're like, what's Brave? And I'm like, oh, no ads. It's got a built-in ad blocker. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's just got a built-in ad blocker. You don't see ads, and it's pretty awesome. They're like, that's fucking crazy. And then I'll download it for them if they're like, can you show me? I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't mind stepping through like those tiny little hoops if it gets someone just to use a more private browser, and they see less ads, and then they don't know. They don't think about it. They don't know it's more private or more secure or anything. They just use it. And I set it as their default, and they go on. This is where uniformity can benefit. The more private and secure apps that society uses with end-to-end encryption and better quote unquote anti-fingerprinting, the better the easier it is to actually be less fingerprinted to a certain degree. And the more private we are, and then we don't have to worry as much about. Or if someone asks, they're like, I hate writing down and memorizing passwords. I'm like, just use a password manager, Bitwarden. Use a password manager, use Bitwarden. But that isn't how it generally always goes. It generally goes south. Or people say they don't care, you know. So that's kind of like how I view it. Most people don't care. Go south. You have to have something very specific to happen to you to shift you into this direction. That's generally my thought process on it, because that's how I switched over. That's how I did it. That's how it happened for me. And then I go on this trip out of country, and I'm like, I have my Proton hoodie on. I'm talking to people. They're like, I'm running into people that are like, I love Proton. That's super, super great. They're like one of the best email providers. I don't use Proton anymore. But I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. I love it. I like Proton. I think they're great. I think they're awesome. And I think you should use them too. And I move on. And they're like, it was just I ran into a lot of people that, no, Proton, and that's amazing. This, when I got Proton, no one, they're like, what? You mean the Atom, right? the scientific Proton? And I'm like, I'm starting to get, like, engage in people that have Proton emails, and they're using it. They're like, oh, yeah, that's my email. I use it for everything. They're more private. They're better. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And I just embrace it, and I shut, like, I'm like, do you Signal? Or, like, they're like, yeah. So, that, I mean, like, that was my experience. But what happened was I was sitting in a bar, I was having a beer, and this person adjacent from me was like, hey, you like Proton, right? And I'm like, yeah, I love Proton. And he's like, why would you use, like, Proton? Like, don't you feel like you're hiding something? And I'm like, no. Like, he's aware of Proton. He's just asking questions as a common person. And I discover this as our conversation goes on. He's like, I just have questions. He's like, because he's like, I generally like privacy and security. And I'm like, I like to be more private. I don't like being spied on and my data being stolen. And he's like, but these companies get a rap for like being criminals. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course criminals use Proton probably. And criminals also use cars. And they also have probably day jobs. You probably pass someone who's doing something super illegal all the time. Who cares? I mean, the point is we want to remove I guess subject matter, like this perspective that only criminals use these kind of products. And I used a very simple analogy in a more less direct way. I'm like, you go to the bathroom like everyone else, right? We all know what you're doing in the bathroom. Why do we have stalls? Why do we lock, you know, why do we have blinds in our house? Why do we have locks? Because at the end of the day, people care about what they don't want people to see, even though we might know what they're doing. To a certain degree, like we know, and they're probably there, you know, jerking or shitting or whatever, or pissing. But we don't want to see that, and they don't want us to see that. And that's how I treat data. Data is something that I know everyone knows I have, I don't want people to see it. And when you're having a conversation with your friends, why wouldn't you want to use end-to-end encryption? Why wouldn't you, like, what if, like, you know, your chat leaks and it's like sensitive information between you and your girlfriend, just like your email. I even thought about the email thing. A lot of people say that, like, email isn't secure or like it was never meant for privacy or whatever. Sure, whatever. I mean, that's a totally different discussion. I have a ton of stuff that I buy that I use an email with. And a lot of my warranty information is attached to that fucking email. And I take a picture of a lot of my receipts and I actually put them in my email now because I was like, oh, I'm paying for this. Their data storage, it's obviously not a good backup. You should have other copies. But there are stuff that I've already pulled from my email that I had to do for, I'm like, I know I saved this email. Boom, boom. Here's the receipt. It's like a second receipt bin. That's something that I think people forget. A lot of warranties, they want you to give them some form of tracking of it. I had to do a warranty for something. It was in my email. Because I don't empty those very important emails. I save them. I have other copies of them, but sometimes they're less accessible. My email is slightly more accessible than some of those other means of data archive. Because I try to be pretty good about doing my backups. So me and this person were talking. We end up just having like a general conversation about privacy and security. And I think they left like curious and wanting more and understanding more instead of me being combative. Right now, I believe Signal is has the highest downloads it's ever had. I believe this is because of something called SignalGate. So SignalGate is driving the most U.S. downloads of Signal ever. The scandal around the Trump administration's Signal group chat has led to a landmark week for the encrypted message app's adoption. It's the largest U.S. growth movement by a massive margin. That's amazing. So this is March 27th. That's huge. So SignalGate isn't about Signal, and I'm just gonna put it very simple out. I mean, you can look it up. It's called SignalGate. Don't tell me this is Reddit. So pretty much what happened is on March 11th to March 15th, a group of United States national security leaders conducted a group chat on Signal messaging service about intimate military operations against the Houthis in Yemen. Among the chat's members were J.D. Vance, VP, White House staff, three cabinet secretaries, and the director of two intelligence community agencies. A high-profile leak occurred when National Security Advisor, by the way, that's fucking retarded to have that in front of you and this happened, Mike Waltz erroneously added Jeff Goldberg in the editor-in-chief of the American magazine, The Atlantic, to the group. Big F, by the way. On March 15th, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, another fucking wild thing to have in front of you and this happened. I mean, shit happens, but I don't think this should have happened. They should take accountability for that. That's crazy to me. Used to chat to share classified details of the pending airstrike, including types of aircrafts and missiles, as well as launch and the attack times. The name of the active uncovered female CIA officer was mentioned by a CIA director, John Ratcliffe, in the chat, while Vance and Heath expressed contempt for the European allies. The content of the chat became public on March 24th when Goober published a partially redacted transcript in The Atlantic. The White House National Security Council spokesman Brian Hughes verified the chat's authenticity after the Trump administration official disputed Goldberg's characterization and the redacted said likely containing classified information. The Atlantic published the entire transcript on March 25th. The incident raised concerns about national security leaders' information security practices and what sensitive information they might have revealed, whether they were following records, preservation laws, accountability, and the Trump administration, and more. The political scandal and the U.S. government intelligence leak has been called Signalgate. That is not good. But what good came out of it? Well, the group's 19 members included these people, plus CIA officers whose names the Atlantic withheld at the CIA's request. They should have been like, he should have been like, sorry, CIA, request denied. But that's crazy. There's some of these people that are the director of national intelligence, national security, principal deputy national security advisor, all these people that it's crazy, actually. The amount of people that are in this, the leak, it goes over the transcript. Just go read it. It would be awesome. But what good came out of it? More people are like straight up like downloading Signal because they're probably now aware of it. They're like, oh, the U.S. government uses it. Officials use it. And you're like, yeah. They're not legally allowed to do that, apparently. From what I understand, they have to do everything inside SCIF. SCIF is like super secure, offline, their own intranet, their own computers, their own like resources. Like it's all very, 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 very secretive. Stuff like this should have been done there, they said. Some other people are saying like there should be a modern way for them to trade information, but some other people did point out if Signal, you can delete messages, that this might, they might delete it for FOIA. Like if you have a FOIA request, that's the problem. I mean, Americans do have the right to know where their tax dollars are going. You could say that for most. Most countries should have that. So, you know, if you're going to use my tax dollars to bomb another country, I need to know, because that can dramatically change like how you view your cabinet and like, you know, how you vote, etc. But super L on the leak, super W on the fact that Signal is getting more down. Like the more people that use Signal, the better this is. Now, obviously, you have another chat platform that's very similar, which is SimpleX. If you want to really like get rid of the metadata leaks, I mean, SimpleX is pretty much up there, in my opinion. Pretty much solidly up there. Like, you got massive, massive downloads of that. And even, like, the more people that join Tutanota and, like, all these other, like, privacy and encrypted apps, it's only going to be a benefit. But the real problem that we're going to run into is people think this is going to happen in the Signal community, mainly because they're the most like schizoid, or like the people that are like super paranoid. They're going to be like, Signal is a honeypot now, which is going to suck. But I'm glad more people are downloading it and using it. Like truly. If you care about the metadata, SimpleX. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. So after that interaction, like a few interactions, back to the main point. After like the few interactions that I've encountered with people where I talk about privacy and security, I eventually have become less and less stonewalled and less pushback. And it's more like, how? And then you point to resources, and then you give them just a taste. Like you're like, oh, just go download like Bitwarden or Signal, or just think of a product that you use. And this is how I would approach it. like, think of your parents. Say you have a set of parents and you're worried that they're going to use the same password, or they're going to maybe even worse, use SMS, or one uses iPhone and then one uses Samsung or Android or whatever, and they don't have a way to do end-to-end encryption. I know RCS is there, but I mean, come on. RCS and iMessage. If you want truly to remove yourself from that, you can kind of like, hey mom, hey dad, dad, mom, whoever, hey parents. You can go to them and say like, look, I don't like the idea of our group chat potentially being leaked. Or I don't like that you share like the credit card through the messaging app, and so I can go buy like my Air Jordans or whatever. Can we just do Signal, and you and dad can FaceTime, and you can read receipts, and no more green or blue bubbles. That might change them when they hear they can FaceTime and they can do this. You know what I mean? Like, and you can see when I read your receipt. You can see this, you can see that. Like, there's a lot to Signal that is truly very modern, and because it's so modern, it makes switching too easy. Now, don't switch to the next new app, and don't like try to be like Signal's a honeypot or whatever. You know what I mean? If you're going to push a lot of people to it, just use it. Use it for those specific people, especially your friends. SimpleX is relatively, I think, can be more, quote unquote, anti, like, you know, with a like better handling metadata. And it is more decentralized in its nature. You can run your own relay. But that's going to confuse people. And the way you share links, you have to share a link, you have to share your profile with people. It's a lot of extra steps. Signal just works. I sign up with a phone number. I can use usernames if I don't want to give out my phone number, which people ask for and still complain, by the way, which is fucking insane. And it just makes it much easier for people to have way better communication than SMS, which obviously is much worse. Now, whether you think that it was a good idea for, you know, the United States government using it, that's a different story. I still like that people are taking this as a positive spin. Now, after you do that, you know, obviously help your parents or your friends or something. Like, when you switch them to a service, answer their questions or point them to like good resources. You know what I mean? That's like super important, because if you don't do that, then they're going to feel like very lost and out of touch. Even just getting your parents on a password manager. I say Bitwarden. They have a family password manager. Like, they have a family version where it's inexpensive. I forget the price of it. Yeah, family, $3.33 per month, up to 6 users, billed annually. That's crazy cheap. $40 between 6 people. And then you can manage it together and you can figure it out. And obviously Bitwarden individually has always been free. If they don't want to spend the money, whatever. Or if you want to give it to them as a gift. Sometimes it's not just about giving, sometimes people are like afraid of the price and they're afraid of free, but no one's afraid of a gift. You know what I mean? Hey, mom, dad, I got this a password manager account. Like, I don't want you to use big fat dog Rosie 22 anymore. Because these are the people that are most vulnerable, that have the highest level of probably account hacking. And show them how to use it. And then I'm like, mom, you don't have to memorize passwords anymore. Dad, you don't. You just need one. And it's phone agnostic. It can go across any device. Anyone can use it. And I think the thing is, a lot people think that this is all for tech users. These products are out. The vast majority of people do not run into them unless they are into privacy and security. You don't ever come across them. It's not like Bitwarden is advertising on Facebook. Like, hey, like they'll probably see like a VPN or like a Dashlane or maybe like Norton, like, or McAfee antivirus or some shit like that. Of course. But the average, like, person in their 30s plus, even young kids, young people, hey, have you heard of Bitwarden? No. Probably fucking not. Very rarely. You might run into it. Or even if you do, like, better yet, if you want something even more, Family Proton. The whole family. For shit, the year, they get $23 a month. It's $287. 3 terabytes of storage, 6 users, access to all the Proton apps, premium features, Proton Scribe Writing Assistant. That might be sound like a lot. What is that divided by 6? I think it's 23 divided by 6 people. That's $3 a person. You're getting all the benefits. That's like $4 a person. All the benefits of Proton with for like fucking dirt cheap. I mean, that's cheap. You really can't beat that. So if it's a price thing that scares people, then all you have to do is just, whatever, pay the $287 and maybe they'll like it. Do it as a gift. That's huge. You get 3 terabytes of storage. That's a lot of storage for everyone. Everyone gets their own storage, gets their own profile. And then you guys can email each other end-to-end encrypted. You can share photos with each other end-to-end encrypted. You have a VPN that you guys can use. I mean, all the Proton apps, and it comes with a pass, Proton Pass, password manager, with email aliasing included. The thing is, it's not necessarily that people are allergic to, and they have a dual option too for you if you have like a wife or a husband and you want to switch them over. It might push them into, and then next year, they might be like, you know what? I do love this. I want to keep it. And then they start paying. I'm like, Dad, hand me $30. Mom, hand me $30. And then they have fucking a great service. Sometimes you have to push people into those directions. Or just have them do it for free. You know, whatever. Sometimes monetary cost incentivization pushes people to stuff. Sometimes giving somebody something will push them to enjoy that product and maybe transfer to it. You know, I give a lot of free advice, you know, in my spare time when people have questions, if I can accommodate, or I point them in the direction. And that might push them away from not wanting to engage in that kind of community. That doesn't mean that I will not be combative on wrong information, because I think that is another part that's problematic. Like VPNs being fucking, VPNs being like the silver bullet when they're not. Logging into a service that knows who you are with a VPN. Like, you literally just defeated the purpose. They already know who you are. So don't like, obviously spread misinformation to these people, and don't let them get caught into scams like where they're buying like the unplug phone, the you know what I mean, or the Freedom phone, or like all these shit products that get shilled to people when they start going down this rabbit hole. And I I feel like a lot of it starts with like good quality conversations and good quality information yourself, like your own experience definitely can drive a lot of those factors. I've been misinformed. I have collected the wrong information before and learned from my mistakes. It's kind of like self-hosting. I've crashed my system, my server, did backups incorrectly, suffered the consequences. Stuff like that happens to me, but I never want to be the person that passes that information to somebody else and make them go through the same hurdles. I mean, there are some grit factors where you do learn by, you know, RTFM, but in all reality, it's better to actually teach someone where they don't need to go through that and leave them. Not everyone is resilient, you know what I mean? And I definitely believe that you as an individual can help mitigate that much as possible. I switched someone to Linux before. They had questions. I answered them. And then, to a certain degree, I was like, hey, RTFM, and this will solve a lot, like, where you don't have to, like, spend hours of looking and configuring. But I still, like, if they were stuck somewhere, I would still help them because I think that's important to do. It keeps them in the community and striving for better, more open source solutions out there because they don't feel like they're like left alone or behind. I had to learn a lot about Linux by myself because I just didn't feel like asking anyone, so, which is dumb, and a lot of the people around me do not use, you know, Linux, so I had to go in RTFM a lot, or I had to go to forums, I had to search for a long period of time for answers to stuff that I could probably have, like, if I would have taken more time, I would have had a better experience. Just like switching your parents to like a new operating system, like if you switch them, or your brother to like switching your brother and your sister and your cousin and etc., you know, to these products, it's good because you don't have to really start with the it's end-to-end encrypted, it's secure, it's more private, they care about your privacy, blah, 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 blah. You can just be like, hey, it's easier to use, it's cleaner, it's not Google. You could just start with it's not Google. Like, they're like, do you like monopolies? No. Okay. Then here's your solution. And I found that to be more effective when you focus on stuff that people like really care about and average consumers. Don't come from a tech perspective. Come from an average consumer perspective, because that's really going to drive more people's curiosity more than features that they might not care about in the beginning, but down the line they will. You know, when they inevitably move over to like Signal or like SimpleX, they kind of are like, oh, I can delete text messages after like 2 months automatically. They'll disappear. Beautiful. I don't have to remember that. It's just set. I can set schedule text messages. Nice. I can send voice memos. Oh, cool. My email provider cares about my privacy and isn't spying on me, and I'm not getting all this junk mail because I have email alias. That's where the conversation eventually leads to like them self-realizing that there's a lot of these products out there are good, like spam calls. Spam email. They're like, oh my God, I signed up for one product, one email. I gave them my email once and I'm getting all this junk. And I'm like, here's a solution. Go do your research. Or like, give them like, plant little seeds. I think planting little seeds is super, super important. Now that you've gotten, now that you're getting closer to like pushing people in the right direction, I think it's also good to like take your binoculars and pull them out and like really like focus on the main driving points. When you are discussing this with people, always come with the skepticism that they think you're paranoid. Not the skepticism, always come with the idea in the back, I guess like the simplest way to explain it is like the idea in the back of your head that they think you are over paranoid, and it can sound like it, and that you're over or you're hiding something, like you're a criminal, and don't take offense to it. come with like I understand that what these people think. I understand how these people view it, and I'm going to change it. If you come with like a very positive perspective and switch over to I'm trying to change people, it's a different feeling. Now, in reality, when you debate people and stuff like this, you're never really there to change the debater. You're there to change the audience. Treat it like that. You're never going to change everyone's viewpoint on stuff like that. That's not possible. It'd be nice because it'd be more uniformic, and then people could actually have good understanding of threat modeling, and you know, we're in a more safe and secure society in terms of data protection and good end-to-end encryption and making sure that people have control over their data more than anything. Once you come in with that perspective and you take it to the next level, instead of just talking to friends and family, you talk to strangers. You ask strangers, you know, what, like, do you care about privacy and security? Do you care about end-to-end encryption? I think this is something that we do lack in the privacy and security movement. I understand that there's a lot more YouTubers out there. They're covering the news. They're doing the data breaches. But those people, funny enough, they already fucking believe what you do. Like, they already like what you do. A lot of it's probably returning viewers or people that are already very well aware of this existing. And sometimes people are like, I just watch it because they inform me in the news and I don't have to like go to my RSS feed page. And that's great. It's kind of like YouTube. I do YouTube because it has the broadest audience that is unaware of this, versus me on PureTube, where most people are probably already really privacy conscious because they're already on PureTube. I would never reach a good audience on PureTube. Or on Rumble, or on Kick. I try to reach an audience and become rational as possible with people that don't really have a clue of what's going on. But I do think that we don't have enough grassroots community shops, like meetups, where people are meeting up and discussing this, where they're doing like the change my mind type of mentality and going into like universities and getting people self-aware, because I think that touches more people. You can obviously touch a huger audience when you're online, but I think that touches more people because you're interacting with people on a higher level. Those are actually changing people's opinions, and because you might impact them and they might be left with something much more than just, oh, it's some guy online, he's probably getting paid to do this. Or he can't really answer any of my questions I have. He's just kind of answering one question I was searching for. That is a massive difference in changing people's perspective. So I would challenge you, if you're listening to this, to definitely go out and look for local organizations. If you can and you have the time, look for local organizations. And if you have the time and the money, start local workshops. Like, take donations, you know, maybe lose some money in the beginning, but make it like an even cost kind of thing, and teach people to do this. Or pick it as a career path. Teach people how to do this. Set up a local workshop, charge a flat, tiny fee to keep it going. You know, don't, if you can do it to make a profit, absolutely. Consulting is like, you know, it's a huge field and you can make a lot of money in it. Especially if people have questions and you give good, knowledgeable answers. But I'd never want to see people price people out of better privacy and security. Obviously, your time is always going to be valuable, but try to do it as truly an altruistic point of view. The more private and secure we are as a society, the better it is for everybody. It's a we thing, not a me thing. And I think that is relatively hard to get people to understand. And if you even fundamentally talk to like a lot of people, like 40s plus up, like Gen X plus up, a lot of them probably have the same views as you. They just don't know how to get there. They're like, I don't want to be spied on. But in their mind, what can I do? I don't want better privacy and security management, and I'm tired of getting data breaches and all this, well, then it that's kind of like generally like people are like mind your business kind of generation. The thing is, we got all this information we could be feeding to them. They're just probably not realizing that it's there. And that's how you were probably. You're like, well, I don't like if you ask these simple questions, like, would you mind if I watched you while you sleep every night? People are like, yeah, I would mind. And I'm calling the police and you're going to jail. But if you sit down and have like a banner that says, I should have access to all your Ring cameras, or encryption should protect everyone, even rapists, you know, stuff like this. You put these grabs in front of people, and I'm just giving examples that make people sit down and be like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? What is this psycho talking about? What an absolute crazy thing to even suggest. And then you have this discussion. You start with a bait, then you have a discussion, you sit people down, and you really talk to them. Because I think that it will change how they perceive, and you're gonna take L's, you're gonna lose some people, you're gonna have people that don't even agree with what the fuck you just said or even care, but you're having a discussion and other people are listening. And that's how, when I was having that conversation with that person, somebody else heard that conversation and was like, hey, I'm actually interested in that. That's crazy cool. And then we all collectively had a conversation where we were exchanging perspectives and ideas on how this works and how this works and like what's the purpose of like how do I evade like, you know, XYZ. And then I get in, you know, some of them found new software and tools that they didn't even know existed. Like they didn't know Tails existed. I was like, Tails is pretty cool. If you like really care about your anonymity, just use Tails or Hoonix. Hoonix is another one. Like if you want that set up and you want to go that route, that exists. And that's how you get the spread of free and open source software. And not only that, that's how you get the people to spread better options out there to make it much easier to like absorb that information and then just use it. I've used email aliasing for so long that I don't even think about giving out my real email. Sometimes I forget I have a real email because how efficient it is. It's like clockwork with me. Like just It's so normal. This habit is so normal to me that I couldn't imagine giving out my actual email. I don't even think about it. That's how cool it is. I just go straight to a non-addy. I generate an email alias. I attach it to my email. I pick which inbox to send it to, and I paste it. And if somebody even asks me for an email in public, and they say, I need to for my receipt because it's digital, I look at him with anger. I look at him with anger. I know it's not them. It's the company. It's not the employee. He's just doing his job. They're just doing their job. I'm like, all right, get ready for a long email. It's going to be A, B, C, D, E, blah, 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 at blah, 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 .com. And they're like, is that a real email? I'm like, yep. And then sometimes they ask a question. They're like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, it's an aliased email. I explain it to them real quick. And they're like, wow, that's really cool, actually. I'm like, you should probably use it. Here's the company that I would recommend. Have a nice day. And then I move on. And then the people behind him that had to endure that, they hear it. And they're like, huh, that is cool. I'm going to check that out. Do I believe him? Sometimes no. I think some people just say that. I think that's just a thing we say sometimes. Like, I'm going to check that out. But if they do, that's awesome. Like, truly, that's awesome. I mean, like, I use email aliasing for everything. And when I was switching over to Tutanota, I was like, oh, man, I'm fucked. Oopsies. And then I realized, oh, it doesn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? Like, I can, I have like ways of making sure that everything is sent to the correct inbox. I don't care. I love TuneNoda. I think they're great. Switching to them was probably the best part. And I still love Proton. No hate towards them. I just have different needs in all on, and they're not meeting them. I still think people should use them. We need competition against these like fucking monopolies. Like badly. And I don't think there's really, I just don't like the sentiment of like people bringing up that email is not secure or private or whatever. It's like, let's remove that. How about us having, just another email provider that cares about our privacy and our security, and it is not, they're not like, that doesn't care about us as a whole, I guess, besides mining our data is the best way to look at it. You know, it's not always the easiest conversation or solution to think about because of how emails and, you know, implicated, but that alone, like, it's enough for me to switch. You know, if I could get rid of Gmail completely, I would. I'd love to. But YouTube requires it, and it sucks. So I don't really have a choice until pretty much we're at the point where, like, I don't need to do this anymore. And I love that. The day that I don't have to talk about privacy or security anymore, I'm going to do a fucking backflip, keep this podcast up as long as Josh is... that runs Yellow Ball doesn't fucking collapse, and I hope it doesn't, because it's a really good service, and I like that it allows me to speak my brain into waves, and that a lot of people, you know, have downloaded, listened to it. It's truly awesome. I'm very appreciative for this service, and I appreciate everyone listening, and I hope you guys tune into the next one. I'm gonna go back on my like normal like scheduled drop. I don't really think about dates. I think more about like, I'm gonna drop this, I have an idea, but I will do the once a month where I read news, give my thoughts, read the news about stuff like this, gather it from like my RSS feed, discuss it, talk about it, think about it. So if that's what you really really want, at the general, I can't think of like, I think I'm gonna do it like the last week. I'm always going to do it the last week at the end of the month. Like, at the end of the month, it's going to be the last week. It's going to be, like, either Thursday or Friday or something. I haven't figured it out. But last week, tune in for that. So at the end of this month, I'm going to come out with all the collective stories that I found, give my thoughts on it. So if that's what you're interested in, definitely come back at the last week of the end of the month. I think I've ranted long enough. I appreciate everyone. Again, thank you and good night.